WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It's Christmas Eve, panic time for sluggish shoppers. In fact, by the time you hear this, the stores might already be closed. But it's never too late to pick up swell books for the children in your life.
Some of the little video urchins I know need a friendly visit from Dickens' Ghost of Christmas Future to show them the awful vision of what buttheads they'll turn into if they don't start reading now. And if supernatural strong-arming doesn't succeed, here are some wonderful new books almost guaranteed to work their magic on even the most reluctant runt-sized readers. Revisionist history is hot these days. Columbus, the Pilgrims, Geronimo. If their reputations are being overhauled, why should we be surprised by these fresh opening words to an old children's story? Once upon a time, there were three cuddly little wolves with soft fur and fluffy tails who lived with their mother. One day, the mother called the three little wolves around her and said, "My children, it is time for you to build a house for yourselves, but beware of the big bad pig." That's right. The Three Little Wolves and the Big Bad Pig is a giggly, sweet book for little kids about a psychopathic pig who uses a sledgehammer, pneumatic drill, and dynamite to blow the wolves' houses apart. For concerned parents, there's also a nice lesson here about resolving conflicts through mutual cooperation. My next recommendation is Giants in the Land by historian Diana Applebaum. It's a haunting story about the ancient pine forests that once covered New England. These giant trees were about as big as the more famous California redwoods, but most of them were chopped down before the Revolution and made into masts for English warships. Giants in the Land is more than just ecological agitprop. In stunning black and white drawings, it also dramatizes the ingenuity of the men who chopped the trees down and transported them hundreds of miles to the sea by teams of oxen. To flesh out the urban fantasies of kids or adults who've grown to love New York through years of watching Miracle on 34th Street, I recommend a gorgeous book entitled My New York by folk artist Kathy Jacobson. There are richly detailed paintings and foldouts here of the Empire State Building, Central Park, and even the Baby Watson Cheesecake Factory. In Jacobson's idyllic New York, even the subway rats smile. Finally, there are two great new books for older kids. Cartoonist Jules Pfeiffer has written and illustrated his first children's book, entitled The Man in the Ceiling. It's about an awkward boy named Jimmy who wants to be a cartoonist. He creates a weird superhero named Mini-Man. The only adult who encourages Jimmy is his uncle Lester, who writes flop Broadway plays. Lester tells Jimmy that every failure is a piece of future luck. And by the end of Pfeiffer's enchanting story, even an old cynic like me agreed with Uncle Lester. Somebody else who embraced Uncle Lester's philosophy of life was Eleanor Roosevelt. Two summers ago, I read the first volume of Blanche Weisden Cook's celebrated but controversial biography of Eleanor, so I plan to just skim a new kid's version of her life by Russell Friedman for comparison. But Eleanor Roosevelt, A Life of Discovery, was too good to skim. Friedman suspensefully describes Eleanor's transformation from a colorless echo of her husband to the First Lady of the World. He supplies just enough historical detail and plenty of adventurous anecdotes about Eleanor, like the one about how she and Amelia Earhart, both dressed in evening gowns, got into a two-seater plane one day and flew off into the clouds. I think any pre-adolescent girls or boys who aren't inspired by this biography deserve coals instead of books in their Christmas stockings.
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.